Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
In my film days, it was not uncommon at all for a darkroom session to last all day, 5 to 10 hours easily, sometimes more. By the time I mixed the chemistry, got all the trays out for printing, or all the film developing tools out for working in the dark, and then set about to do the work, it was just very time-consuming. This explains why sometimes I would have undeveloped film hanging around for 6 months. After the trip was concluded and I was back home, I wouldn't know for 6 months if I'd produced anything interesting or photographed anything interesting, because you don't know until you develop the film. And this is one of the advantages I love about the digital workflow, is that I can be productive in a much faster time with my first cup of coffee while still in my jammies. It's not uncommon for me now to have 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a half an hour at max to do work, but yet I can. I fire up the computer, I open up Lightroom, and I'm busy doing something, processing images, developing collections, whatever. But it doesn't take hours and hours and hours, and if I only have a half an hour or an hour, I can still use it to be productive. Now, that's all theoretically true, but there is one important part about that that shouldn't be overlooked, and that is the preparation time in the darkroom had the function of setting my mind to be creative. It took me a while. It was like a warm-up or a stretching period in athletics, where you're getting ready to be creative, but you're not being creative yet. You're warming up. Any of you who are athletes know the problem of trying to perform at a high level when you're not warmed up is a huge challenge. It just can't be done. Those preliminary steps that it takes to migrate psychologically, physically, whatever, from normal life to creative and productive or athletic life, those important steps cannot be missed. And that's the downside of the digital workflow, is because I can open up my computer and immediately go to work, I don't have that transition time from just waking up in the morning to working productively in Lightroom. So I've had to develop certain routines that help me make that shift. The shift from what I'll characterize as everyday mind to the creative mind. And one of the ways I do that, believe it or not, is with keywording. Even if I only take 5 minutes in Lightroom to do some keywording, it gets my mind going in a creative path that I can feel, that's tangible, that wouldn't occur if I didn't take that 5 minutes to sort of warm up and stretch and look at my catalog and for my mind to disengage from the activities of the day to instead being zeroed in on something to do with my photography, with my creative process. One thing that is deadly that I've discovered, maybe this says something about myself, I don't know, but one thing I cannot do is begin by looking at email or reading the news or surfing the web or YouTube, because that pulls me so far away from creative mind that it makes it even more difficult to get the creative momentum back. So I have to be, disciplined enough that when I sit down first thing in the morning in my jammies and I want to do some work in Lightroom, that I open the computer and get to work in Lightroom and not allow those other distractions to creep in. Otherwise, it's easily an hour or two before I get back to what I intended to do, which was do something artistic with my imagery. There are moments, I have to confess, when I just can't get myself into keywording because I find it kind of boring and it's a drudgery to do keywording. But that's not the only option to do a warm-up cycle in the art life. that still has that function of transitioning our mind from everyday mind to creative mind. Another way to do that is by establishing some collections, or sometimes doing some stacking of images in Lightroom. In general, sort of file organization. It's dealing with images, but not necessarily processing them or creating something with them, but it's nonetheless a transition point, a point in between being fully creative and being not creative at all. My suspicion is that different people will need a different interim step to help bridge that gap between everyday mind and creative mind. Whatever it is for you, it might be stretching. It might be applying some simple processing. It might be doing some ranking with stars or putting colored labels or whatever in Lightroom. Something that's not really high-level production, but also is not everyday life. Once I had this sort of figured out for myself and I knew I needed that transition, then all of a sudden it made darkroom work in my jammies seem perfectly easy. Even with that first cup of coffee in the morning, do that little transitional exercise and boom, you're off and running. And who cares that you're in your jammies? As long as you're comfortable and you're being creative, that's all that really counts, isn't it? And isn't it lovely that we can be creative that way and doing something productive with our photography that doesn't involve smelly chemicals and the necessity of wearing a rubber apron, unless, that is, part of your jollies in photography, and I know there are lots of you out there, who just love the smell of Fixer and love the darkroom work and the rubber apron and the red light and the gray lab timer, then have a ball. But maybe there's something you can figure out in your workflow that allows you to be more productive than that fully committed day where you know you're going to spend 5 to 10 hours in the darkroom. What can you do in the wet darkroom workflow that accomplishes something with small bits of time? I don't know. I wish I had an answer for that. For me, the answer has clearly been the digital workflow. That said, there's one other idea I want to share that I think has all kinds of potential. I've only used this idea a few times in my life, but it worked. I should use it more. And I know there are many photographers who use it with some regularity, and that is the contact print. I'm not talking about where you gang up a whole bunch of images on one piece of paper. Maybe that's the first step. But the second step is to cut that paper into individual images. So maybe you're working on a project and you've got 100 candidate images and you're needing to think about sequencing. Well, make those 100 prints as little 4x6 snapshot size images, and then on a big table or on the floor somewhere, start laying all those images out and looking at potential projects, sequencing, transitions from one phase of a project to another where you might want to break things into chapters. Strangely enough, I think this works so well to bridge the gap between everyday mind and the creative mind because it involves a little activity from both. In the first place, you have to print a whole bunch of 4x6-inch images. So that's a mechanical procedure that isn't really a creative aspect, but it does keep you involved in photography. Then once you have all the 4x6 images, then you're going to lay them out on a table or a floor so that you can start working them and sequencing. That also is not a creative process, but it is a mechanical process that has you involved thinking in terms of images. Now comes the creative part, where you start grouping them and sequencing them and editing which ones are out, which ones are in, finding where the holes are in your project. That's all a creative process. And has the added benefit that when you're all done with it, you basically have, what, a book or a PDF or the exhibition sequence for your original prints in the gallery. So it's this combination of the mechanical aspects and the creative thinking aspects that can make that time incredibly productive. And by the way, that technique will work whether or not you are doing digital prints or doing analog prints. I fell in love with this concept when I was working on the Made of Steel project back in the early 1990s. But in my case, I went ahead and printed 5x7 images, which I knew were going to be approximately the size they were going to be in the finished book. So that gave me an idea about not just sequencing and but whether or not the image would look good at that size. Some images got rejected from the project because they really needed to be bigger. Other images that I thought might be suspect when I had tried to make a 11x14, I realized they were going to look great as a 5x7 because they were smaller, and so a flaw in unperfect focusing got sort of disguised. Simply said, doing something that has the combination of physical and mental seems to be a great way to break the momentum of everyday mind and to engage the productive mind. And, of course, if you're just sitting around trying to sequence a bunch of small work prints, that can be done either in your jammies, or you can work on it for 15 minutes, go to dinner, come back later, come back a week later, and if you've got a place where you can leave everything set out, there they are. You can just pick up where you left off. So the idea of doing contact print work is another way you can turn small bits of time into productive work, here again, even if you're just in your jammies.
Copyright 2024, Lenswork Publishing.